Good morning, everybody. Today we're talking about let go, let God, and let your light shine. This is Becky Spieth, and I'm so glad that you're with us this morning. Let's open in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for an amazing day. I thank you that you do allow us to go through things, that it strengthens us, and that you want us to let our light shine, that you want us to be the salt and the earth. Lord, I just pray that you would just open up our hearts and our minds to hear you in a new way today, to be closer to you than we've ever been. And Lord, that you would help us to let go, to let you have your will in our life and your way in our life, and that you will help us to let our light shine. Father, I pray that you would speak through my mouth of clay as I go through this study with them today. I'm so honored, Lord, and humbled to be able to be with each one of them. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to use me. Allow me to be able to speak your word, to be that salt and the light. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the hardest things I think to do is to let go. I am not good at that. I've never been good at saying goodbye or letting go. And I've had lots of prayer for abandonment issues. You know, I don't know if it came from the fact that my dad, when I was born and very, very young, my mom and dad were in the service. My dad was in the Navy, and he would go off on the ship, and we wouldn't see him for months and months on end. And I can remember the celebration it would always be when he would come back, and waiting for him at the dock and at the pier, and how awesome that would be just to see him. Or if it's just that I don't like things being taken away. You know, I don't know if you're like I am, but I don't like things being taken away. But I do know that if we keep adding and adding and adding and we don't release anything, that it becomes overwhelming and there's just too much in our life, right? It's easy for us to try to hang on to things. And what we need to do is sometimes we have to release some things in order to make way for the God things, not just the good things. So when we let go of a relationship, a hurt, a fear, a past mistake, sin, guilt, slander, anger, failures, regrets, worry, you know, it's easier for us when we realize that God's in control. We have to trust God that when he is saying this season's over in our life, or it's time to look in a different direction or move in a different direction or do something different, that we trust God. Sometimes we have to let go of the past so that God can open the door to our future. And we have to realize that God's allowed us and has used these things and these people in our life to build up who we are, to build you up. And many times what he's asking that we do is that it's not that we let go of these things, but that we move closer to him. And we sometimes do have to make some space to get closer to him. You know, what God has for you in store, what he has in store for you is never, ever in the past. If it was, you already would have received it, right? That only makes sense. What God has in store for you is never in the past. He's got something better than that relationship. He's got something greater than your worries and your fear. He has something greater than your past mistakes, but you've got to trust him and stand strong. And you've got to let go. You've got to keep moving to see what God has in store for you. Did you know that if you're not moving towards it, it's continuing to move and you're being left behind? C.S. Lewis tells us that getting over a painful experience is a lot like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. I used to love the monkey bars on the playground, but I remember that I could only hang in one place for so long. It seemed like I could get across and it would take longer, but I could get across and make some forward momentum and have a lot of fun in the process if I would remember to let go so I could reach for the next bar. decisions sometimes prove to be hardest to make, especially when it's a choice between where you should be and where you really wanted to be, right? I know that for me, there's been times that I said, yes, Lord, I want to obey you. I'm going to give you everything I have. I'm going to do all I can. And I can see where I really want to be. And then all of a sudden, I think I'm moving in that direction. All of a sudden, it's like I put on like glasses and I can see. Or the shade has been lifted, or that the curtain's been pulled back, and all of a sudden I think, oh my goodness, that's where I should be, and it's completely different than where I wanted to be, and I have to make that choice. Will I obey? Will I do what I need to do? Dwight Moody said, let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can. Did you realize that? God's got it all planned out. But we try to hang on to our life, or what we think our life is, so tightly that we block and we hinder so much of the goodness of what God has for us. It's important that we let go of the past so that God can open the door for our future. And when we finally let go, something better comes along. But you know what? It's been there all the time. The God thing has been there, not just the good thing. It's been waiting for you, but you couldn't embrace it until you let go of the stuff that you're hanging on to from the past and from before. One of the things, I don't know if you ever did this when I was a little girl, I used to always pick my scabs. I know, that's kind of gross, but I couldn't stand the thoughts of seeing the scab on there, and it felt tight, and it itched, and I felt like there was, like, something better underneath there, so what I would do is I'd start picking at it, right? But I was told over and over again, in order to heal my wounds, I needed to stop touching them. I had to stop touching my wounds in order to get the healing. I think it's important that when we're looking at this, that we set our eyes upon Christ, because sometimes we hold on to things that are, you know, so unhealthy for us, like unhealthy relationships and doing our own will, because we think to ourselves, maybe there'll be a change. We still hold on to hope in things other than God. We put our hope in relationships, in other people, our spouse, in our situation, in our business, in our mind, in our job, in all these things. Well, if this would happen, then I'd be okay. If this would happen, then I'd be fine. Well, you can strengthen that desire to hold on to things that God doesn't want in your life by constantly picturing it in your life and imagining how it would be and how you think it should be, and you keep training yourself that's the way that you should be going, and say that God really wants that for you. But what you're doing is making it harder for yourself to let go. I want you to stop looking to all these things. Instead, start looking at the Lord. Keep your mind on Christ. Proverbs 4:25 and 27 says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Not looking around, but directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths your feet are going to be on, and be steadfast in all your ways. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Isaiah 26:3 says that you'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on the things above and not on earthly things. So don't trust in those thoughts that might come into your head, you know, that are leaning, you know, on your own understanding then. Trust in the Lord, allow him to control, and don't allow your thoughts to control you. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is your refuge. You're never going to do God's will when you're living in the past. Looking back is going to distract you from what's in front of you. The enemy's going to try to remind us of our past mistakes, our sins, our failures, all of those things, right? He's going to say that you messed up now and you messed up God's plan for you. But you know what? The devil's a liar. You're exactly where God wants you to be, so don't dwell on the past, but keep moving forward. Isaiah 43:18 says, but forget all of this. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, brothers, and I'm going to put in sisters, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of you, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Don't you want to press forward? Don't you want to keep your eyes on your prize? And what it is it's your heavenly call. If you're feeling unfulfilled, if you're not feeling like you're exactly where God wants you to be, then you're probably not living into that prize, that promise of your heavenly call. We need to stop looking behind us. We need to stop grabbing onto that stuff and dragging it with us. We need to stop driving on the highway of life trying to look in the rearview mirror. We need to look out the windshield. We need to pursue what's ahead of us. Don't take hold of the things behind of us. And reach forward to that prize of your heavenly call. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that all the runners in a stadium compete, but only one is going to receive the prize? So run to win. Stop running just to, like, barely get by. Run to win. Job 17:9 says, the righteous shall move onward and forward, and those with pure hearts shall become stronger and stronger. Sorry about that. They're not going to become strangers. They're going to become stronger and stronger. When we have to let go, I'm going to say that it's not always easy, but we have to let go. Sometimes the things that we're holding on to are actually going to harm us and be in harm's way. And we don't even understand what God is truly protecting of us. You know, we've all been in those situations where we were running late or things just didn't seem to be going according to what our plan was. We got rerouted and we were on a detour, and then all of a sudden we find out that we would have been passing through a tragic mistake, a tragic accident, you know, some tragedy at that exact moment. And we didn't even know God was protecting us. I think those things happen to us all the time, and we're so unaware of what they truly are. But God sees what we don't see, and he sees what we refuse to see. I'm going to say that again, because he sees what we don't see, but he also sees the things that we refuse to see. We refuse to put our eyes on Christ at times. We refuse to look around because we want to do our own thing, don't we? Proverbs 2, 7, and 9 says that he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. He's got that where he's looking over us. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. I want to encourage you to give your hurt to God. You know, I never said letting go wouldn't be painful, right? I never said you wouldn't cry, that you wouldn't have hurt, that you might not, you know, feel confused. I know personally that it does hurt. I've had to let go of doing my will before, and that is so hard. I had to let go of people's sins against me, people that I thought loved me, cared about me, and they were there just to try to bring harm to me. Nobody understands exactly the pain that you're feeling at the moment except for you and God. That's why you have to bring your pain to God. You know, sometimes the pain hurts so much that you can't even speak it. You have to speak with your heart and say, you know, say it to God through your heart because he knows. Just say, help me, God. Help. God knows the disappointment. He knows the frustration. He knows the pain. He knows the worry. And sometimes you have to cry out for this special peace that he gives you in prayer to help you cope with the situation. And it's this special peace that has given me such sound mind and contentment in every situation, time and time again. It's like Jesus is giving you an everlasting hug that just helps you recover. Like a good father, that what he does is he lets you know that everything's going to be okay. He tells us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension and understanding, is going to guard your hearts and your minds. So why stress yourself by dwelling in the past? Honestly, Matthew 6, 27 says, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No. But how many hours, days, weeks, months have you wasted on worrying and thinking about all the stuff from the past that you're trying to correct and make right? You don't have to. God's already done that. Jesus died on the cross for that. It's been taken care of. But God does allow these situations to build us up, to help us grow in faith, and to prepare us for something so much better. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who have been called according to his purpose. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, listen to this, not lacking anything. So if you feel like you're lacking something or it's not quite completed yet or you're moving in that space of your being uncertain, you're going to lack for nothing when you consider it pure joy to face the trials with the Lord. Allow your faith to be tested and increased. Let it mature you. Holding on to the anger and the bitterness is going to hurt you more than anybody else. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32 says you have to put away the bitterness, the anger, the wrath, the quarreling, and the slanderous talk, even the malice. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Letting go sometimes requires us to repent, pray for forgiveness. God's faithful to forgive and to pour out his love upon us. Hebrews 8, 12 says, for I'll forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. He said, I'm going to completely forget them. Psalm 51, 10 says, create in me a pure heart. Psalm 25, 6 through 7 says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they've been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. So if God's going to forgive you, why are you hanging on to it and picking that scab, touching it and focusing on it? We have to remember that God loves us greatly. It's so hard to understand God's great love for us. When we look in the mirror, we see our past failures. But God loves us so much, and he loves us so much more than your failures. Pray for better understanding of his love. His love for you is greater than your regret and your pain. Never doubt his love for you, because his love is the key to letting go. 2 Thessalonians 3, 5 says, may the Lord lead your hearts into full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. Jude 1, 21 through 22 says, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring to you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. I want to encourage you to let go of your worry. The almighty, powerful, ever-present God is in control. Psalm 46, 10 and 11 says, let go of your concerns, then you'll know that I am God. I rule the nations. I rule the earth. The Lord of the armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Continue to pray for wisdom and pray for guidance. Pray for peace. Pray that God helps you to let go. And then release it as he brings those things to your mind, which I'm sure dozens have already come into your own mind's eye. I want to encourage you to release them to him and walk in that understanding that once you've repented, it's gone and it's forgotten and you are forgiven. Revelations 3:8 says, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. He is waiting there for you wherever you are to make it be a greater place. And one of the things that I know that he wants you to do is to let your light shine. It tells us in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. And I'm going to read it from the Message version first. It says, "Let me tell you why you're here. Ever wonder why you're here?" Jesus was saying this himself. This was right with the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Let me tell you why you're here. You're to be the salt seasoning that brings out God, the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness, and you're going to end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be the light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going to go public with this, as public as we can, like a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket or under a basket, do you? I'm putting you in a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, I want you to shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to be open with God, this generous Father in heaven." It tells us in the New Living Translation that you're the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It's just going to be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You're the light of the world. You're the city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine so that everybody can see them, so that everyone will praise our Heavenly Father. I believe that there's a light, there's a flame inside of every one of us. And you might feel like that is just barely a flicker. It might just be a barely an ember that's going out, but I want you to fan it into flame. I want you to have that shine bright, because some people do shine bright, and some are going to shine smaller, and we're going to feel like the rain's going to come, and the waters are going to rise up, and we're going to be wondering, is it going to be able to even get to stay burning and alive? But I want you to know that even in love, even in pain, even in joy, even in sorrow, even when it hurts and when things get hard, I don't want you to forget. You're God's child, and he's placed that light inside of you, and it's our responsibility not to cover it up, but to let it shine. And as we let it shine, it's going to get more air, and it's going to get to where it can be a bigger flame. I want you to live every day without regret. We never know if we're going to have the next day. I want you to make the most of every chance that you get. I want you to look and go through life as a child does, with amazement and wonder. And I want you to realize that you need to rekindle that fire. And I want you to hold on to the fact that there will be a day where there isn't going to be pain, when we're going to see Jesus' face. But until that time, I want you to be brave in the dark. And I want you to let your light shine, big or small, but let it shine so that you can move forward and by letting go and letting God work in your life, and then letting your other light shine so other people can see it as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just come before you and I thank you that you give us our path, that you love us. We ask forgiveness for not being obedient, not holding strong to the path that you've given us, and holding strong unto the past, not your path. Father God, help us to be salty. And I don't mean in the term and phrasing that people are using it now where it's mean and it's being snarky and awful to people, but that we would be that flavor, that color, that people are drawn to you by us letting our light shine. Father God, I just ask forgiveness for those times that we weren't letting our light shine, that we hung on too long in the past, or that we kept picking our own scabs, Father, that we didn't walk in your way. Father, I ask that you would help us to forgive ourselves as we forgive those that have hurt us as well. And Father God, I pray that you will give Gloriella the strength to release hanging on to those past beliefs, Father, that she would embrace the new bookings, that she would embrace moving forward, that she would release the habits of the past that she would move forward in her business, and Father God, that you would provide them with a car. You've given us the ability to create wealth, Father, so I pray that you would help open the doors for her, that she would walk through, that she would create her opportunities so she could have more business. And Father God, I thank you and praise you that Carol's got all moved and settled. And Lord, you know their prayer request is they want to know where they need to be going to church, where you want them to serve. And Father God, we just rebuke the disease of cancer in Jesus' name in our entire world, but specifically in Carol's cousin Cheryl. In Jesus' name, we command her body to be healed. We speak to the cancer, you must die in Jesus' name. We will not tolerate disease. You must die in Jesus' name. She is loosed and she is set free. And Lord, we know that Desi's daughter is having her interview today at 1 o'clock for her job. Lord, I pray that favor would go out before her, that you would give her wisdom and you would just speak through her mouth of clay, that she would be the perfect candidate and that she would get the job because she needs a job to help pay for her education to fulfill the call in her life. And Father God, you've called Lenora to rest. So I ask that you would give her the resolve to obey and that you would help her to have the wisdom to know how and what to release. And Lord, that you would give her clarity to know, should she continue or what the next steps would be for her business. That you would continue to give her wisdom as she takes a step forward, but also as she is resolved to obey you and rest. And Father God, I praise you for Dawn's team and the amazing online opportunity event they had last night, that she was giving hope to those that are looking for hope. And I just pray that you would help those that were attending, that they would just seek God's will and that it would just help her to build and develop her team and create her army of people that would be sharing your gospel with their business opportunity. Show those that attended how you plan to meet their needs through this business opportunity. Father, I pray a blessing upon each person that's listening today. Lord, I thank you and praise you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I thank you that you forgive us. I thank you, Lord, that you don't ever just stand still, but if we keep walking with you, that there's so much more. There is so, so much more. Thank you for the revelation of we are exactly where you have us at this moment. Lord, help us to continue to build and grow your kingdom, that we would let our light shine. We love and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for being with me today, guys. I love you. Know that I'm going to continue to pray for you. If you have any other prayer requests, feel free to go over to the Facebook page, The Christian Direct Seller, so The Christian Direct Seller on Facebook, and let me know because I'd love to be able to pray for you this week. Take care. I love you, and I'll be with you again next Monday. Bye, everybody.